Thanks for listening to the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon on Fox Sports Radio.
The signing of Max Scherzer.
Instead of one great starter like DeGrom, we get two back-to-back.
Yay.
Here I thought you'd do a heartfelt tale of, you know, wishing people a happy Hanukkah, celebrating with their families.
And, happy Hanukkah.
And instead you made it all about Max Scherzer again.
Because it's Mets Hanukkah today. We had Mets Christmas the other day. We got Mets Hanukkah today. Oh,
is that the gift?
I can't wait. It's a gift that keeps on giving.
Is it going to be 8 days of presents? I mean, this is only day two.
Oh, yes, tomorrow we're going to get Baez, and the next day we're going to get Otani. Then we're going to get Gehrig, and then we're going to get Musial. Oh, we're going to get all of them. It's all coming. It's Mets Hanukkah. Hooray! Joining us now on the hotline for all the big National Football League news coming off of Week 12, CBS Sports NFL insider Jason LaConfora. You can follow him on Twitter, at Jason LaConfora. Jay, what's happening, man?
What's going on, gentlemen?
Well, you know, obviously the head coaching news in college football is the big deal. Watching Lincoln Riley go to USC, watching Brian Kelly go to LSU. We're seeing these big moves going on in college football, and the last few, we haven't really seen the big push, say, okay, this is the NFL job that's out there for someone. This is where someone wants to do the stepping stone. Is it still the lure, the NFL? Is it still the lure for college coaches like it was? Because looking at it, it's really not.
No, I mean, these guys are getting the deals they're getting in college and the ability to run your own fiefdom. And, I mean, these athletic directors are basically working at the beck and call of the football coach, you know, so you don't have the same structure where you're answering to an owner and you might be answering to a GM. The quality of life is better. A lot of times you're living in a college town with, you know, media who are maybe a little more sort of rah-rah, or, you know, everybody just wants the team to do well. And it's different. Now, some of the stuff going on with name, image, licensing and the ability to move around in the portal, you know, and that sort of free agency is a little different than it was before. And so that can, you know, make things a little bit more difficult for the coach to have to navigate. But you look at the money that's being paid, you look at the stability, again, the quality of life, there's a lot to be said for it. And there's a lot of NFL coordinators and position coaches and even some head coaches who keep a very close eye on what's going on with certain college situations, because there can be cool little places to raise your family where your dollar goes a lot further, and they're paying for your cost of living and they're paying for your transportation costs, and you're kind of the king.
All right, Jason, as we get towards the end here, mercifully, of Week 12 of the National Football League season.
You mean
season.
Of this particular game?
Well, no, I'm just talking in general, because Sunday night football was no great shakes either. 16-10, the Ravens move on. I'm sure you had the bat phone in your studio lighting up all day there in Baltimore. But for the Cleveland Browns, you don't often lose games that you have four interceptions, yet offensively inept enough to do so. Baker Mayfield, in all the long term about his contract push aside, should he just sit down at this point?
Well, I mean, no, I mean, that's not what guys
do. Not him, the coach,
like,
obviously.
Like, you mean take one for the team and, hey, I think Keenum's better. And
you know exactly what I was asking,
my earning
Jason.
Potential and any
Jason,
ability to get
Jason.
A second contract, and my agent's going to fly
into
town.
Jason, you know exactly what I was asking you.
I'm taking a knee, and I'm handing the ball to
that was,
Keenum. For the
that was not what I was asking,
town.
Jason, and you know that.
Huh?
That was
sorry,
not
I
what I asked, and you know that.
I was a little ripped there. I was enjoying the sound of my own voice.
That's right, but it was clearly not the question that I was asking. The question was, should he be sat down?
feel like this is the third time that I've been grilled, and this is not even on this particular topic, and I have no dog in the fight. At this point, I don't know. He's the last 3 weeks, he's got a QB rating of 50-something. I mean, it's been awful. And that fumble where they had the screen set up and he was under a little bit of duress and then the ball squirts out of his hand. And I mean, it's not good. It's not good. A lot of stuff around him isn't great either, but that's a tough one because you're at a point here now where my buddy – this regime is, you know, in year two, and they set the bar pretty high in year one. But they didn't draft this kid first overall, but the owner kind of did, you know? Mm-hmm. And is Case Keenum going to make it that much better? And I don't know. I mean, it's – here's my overarching thought. The Cleveland Browns are not winning a Super Bowl this year. They're not getting to an AFC Championship game this year. They're not there. You know, that's not who they are. They've got a -3 touchdown differential. The scoring differential isn't great. You look at a lot of the metrics around that team and you say, you know, they're middling. So with that being the case and this regime being where they are and you having to make big-time decisions on Baker Mayfield and him now getting the rest for 2 weeks. I think you have to continue to look at Baker Mayfield. If the home game against Baltimore goes horribly, then okay. Now maybe you're trying to salvage something and looking at Case Keenum. But with all he's been through and with where they are, I think you continue to look at the kid who they took first overall.
Jason Lock and four, our guest, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. All right, from Baker Mayfield, a couple other quarterbacks who had, well, less than dubious games on Sunday. Cam Newton gets benched. Ben Roethlisberger has another week of, boy, can the Steelers, what's going on here? Anyway, these guys don't make it to the end of the year as starters. We see Cam Newton sit on the bench. We see Roethlisberger sit on the bench at some point.
I think it's certainly possible. I mean, with Ben, there's just so much emotion. You know, there's so much history there. There's this bridge that he became, right? From, like, the end of Knoll to what Cowher became and then into Tomlin. Mike Tomlin's not benching this. You know, like, and I don't think Ben's going to them and saying, hey, take me out and play more Mason Rudolph. I think Ben wants to savor every morsel that's left on this bone because this is the last bone. This is the last time he's ever going to get a chance to do this. And, hey, maybe I go out throwing a 50-yard bomb to, you know, Claypool or whatever. But I don't think he's going to pull the shoot. And I don't think anybody's going to go to him and say, God, we got to see a lot of Mason Rudolph in December and January to see what we got here. And it just kind of is what it is. It's the end of an era. Nothing lasts forever. Tom Brady went out on a pick six, right? I mean, and that may be how this ends, but I just don't think that there's any sort of shakeup because the heir apparent isn't on the roster. The maybe sort of heir apparent isn't even on the roster. That's not to say that Mason Rudolph won't be their quarterback next year because somebody's got to do it and whoever they draft might not be ready and whatever. But I don't think they do it. With Cam, I mean, yeah, look, if Darnold comes back, I mean, I guess. But that's another one where, like, that's an owner deal. Like, he's there because Tepper wanted him there because his football guys went out and got Sam Darnold and you know, P.J. Walker, and that was a disaster. Although I think Walker actually kind of deserves a little bit of a look. But, like, are either of those guys the answer? No. And you're trying to keep people involved, and you're trying to sell tickets, and you're trying to pique interest. And they certainly did that, you know. And Cam comes in, and he has the two splash plays against Arizona right away, and they win that game. But he's only been there a minute. He doesn't really know the offense yet. He clearly has issues throwing the ball. A 5.8 quarterback rating is brutal. And I don't think it's going to get better overnight. And I don't think they're going anywhere. But I also don't think people are clamoring for more Walker or Darnold. But the reality is they've got to figure out their quarterback of the future. He's not on their roster.
There you go. First Sam Darnold reference in several weeks. There you go. Hey. All right, Rams 7-4, and here in Los Angeles, it seems like they're shying away from Super Bowl anymore. How does Sean McVay turn it around, Jason?
I don't know. I'm not sure that Sean McVay can turn it around. Maybe Aaron Donald can turn it around. You know, maybe Jalen Ramsey can turn it around. Maybe Matt Stafford can turn it around. I don't think there's any switch they can flick schematically that's going to, you know, make them more viable on either side of the ball. They don't run the ball that great. The offensive line is a little long in the tooth, some key spots. The Robert Woods injury was significant. People kind of know where the ball's going with Cooper Kupp. I mean, the quarterback throws a pick six three straight weeks. And Aaron Donald is not the runaway defensive MVP this year. He's just not. He's not the best defensive player in the NFL week in, week out. He hasn't been that. And that's what they need him to be because the cast around him isn't that great. And losing Brockers seems to have been a big deal. And you can avoid Jalen Ramsey and find other places in that defense to find joy throwing the ball against. And, you know, the time of possession isn't great because – you know, they lose a running back early in the year, and that's kind of been by committee and nothing special. That looks like a team that may have peaked in October.
Jay, speaking of teams that are peaking, now let's finish here. We watched the Patriots win their sixth straight. They're at top of the AFC East now, and the winning the battle against the Rams, the Packers now have the best record in the NFC at 9-3. Are these the two best teams in their respective conferences right now?
They very well may be. I mean, if you want to make a case for Arizona, if you want to make a case for Baltimore or Buffalo or Cincinnati, and I guess if you still want to make a case for Dallas, given that it looks like the cavalry is, you know, about to show up on the horizon for their defense when you start talking about, you know, Lawrence and Gregory. Then, you know, we can have those conversations, but if you made me pick a Super Bowl right now, and I know that Mac Jones is still a rookie, but I would maybe say Green Bay, New England. You know, if you made me do power rankings right now, and I hate power rankings, and I won't do power rankings, even though my colleague Pete Prisco claims to have invented power rankings, I would probably have those two up at the top.
You can follow him on Twitter at JasonLockin4. Hey, and tomorrow his first power rankings of the year drops, so make sure they're there. You have baseball card power rankings, don't you? They're coming
up
soon.
You know, when you said that, I don't, but I was like, I wonder who my top five prospects out of 2019 Bowman draft
now you're
would
going. On Twitter at JasonLockin4, at JasonLockin4. Jay, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great week.
See you, Jason.
Great stuff there with Jason Lockenfora. You know, I think we was having fun with the whole Baker Mayfield. Because you just think about Baker Mayfield going, guys, I stink. I need to sit. Yes, take a seat. Take a seat. Yes, give us your playbook. Give us it. We're ready to go to somebody else. Well, I'm just saying, maybe we have the conversation. No.
I just phrased it badly.
You said you wanted to sit. You were going to sit. I'm just picturing that happening in Cleveland would be pretty funny.
Well, I mean, at some point, you got to stop the bleeding. I guess that is the question here. And it's gotten uglier and uglier with each passing start. Look, I don't know if Sunday night football or Monday is worse this week. You might actually put up a poll question. And all those folks that got chesty after a good Saturday of college football, for 1 week, they might have been right that it was a better and more entertaining product for week.
We got more coming up in 90 seconds. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend. His name is Mike Harmon. Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Can you hold on about 45 seconds? I'm trying to figure out what the hell happened.
My goodness. We're going to get to Brian Kelly coming up in a second, but what's happening with Washington and Seattle is going to take precedence here for a couple of minutes. The Seahawks, in a last-gasp drive, get the touchdown they needed, but do not get the two-point conversion. All right, Russell Wilson throws a touchdown pass to Swain for 32 yards. He tries to throw to him again for the two-point conversion. They do not get it. So Washington leads 17-15, holding on without a kicker. Washington's had to navigate the majority of the second half of this game without a kicker because he got hurt on the block kick earlier. So Seattle has the onside kick coming. All right, so it's 17-15. They got the onside kick coming, and the Seahawks get it. They get the ball just outside their own 40-yard line with about 14 seconds left to go. It's a big celebration on the Seattle sideline because they just need one completion. They could kick a game-winning field goal. However, there is a flag on the play for illegal formation, and it is a re-kick for the Seahawks. Illegal formation, a re-kick. The Seahawks have just re-kicked it, and it was still a dicey play, but Washington recovers it, and they are going to win this football game 17-15. It was close. It was kind of just like the kick they got, but Humphreys is able to cover the ball for Washington. They're going to win this game, improve to 5-6 on the season, stay in the playoff hunt, and another nail in the coffin of the Seahawks season. But an illegal formation, and look, because we're watching the game while it's happening in front, it looked like, did they not have enough players lined up to one side of the field, or they were too far?
It was the way they were bunched. Yeah, okay. As best I can tell from the analysis, and look, we don't go deep into the onside kick rules. We don't see, because normally they're not even successful, because I thought they were going to disallow it because he kind of corralled it at about 9.5 yards.
Yeah.
Just where he was, that it didn't go 10 yards. But instead, it was just the way they were bunched, 3 and 2, and just how they're spread out on one side of the formation. So a little bit of that, I don't know. I think the formation and setups that you would normally have Bill Belichick bringing out his dog-eared rule book to yell at you about might be one of those talking points. But you had a disallowed touchdown from Washington that even made this an opportunity. And the great step up and throw from Wilson to Swain, who got behind the safety, makes winners of Washington here as they hold off the comeback attempt. Just crazy. Oh, crazy finish. Man. Terrible game, but a good finish.
I'll tell you, to get the onside kick and then to have it taken away because you lined up incorrectly. And Pete Carroll is smiling on the sideline, and you can tell the officials are explaining stuff to him, and he's like, yeah, whatever. I know. We should have given
this
the ball
to Marshall.
This is the
way it has to happen.
Yeah. Had we given the ball to Marshawn, this wouldn't have happened. Yes, I understand. Yes, thank you. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. So, again, the Seahawks lose to Washington 17-15, and suddenly, really quick, the NFC East is not up for grabs, but it's become a lot more interesting because the Cowboys have lost a couple. The Eagles are a couple of games behind, but Washington now is 2 games back, and they're playing well. Washington's defense is playing well. They're getting enough offensively. And, look, still the Cowboys have a 2-game lead because of the way they started, but yeah, they're not world beaters right now. And
well,
suddenly,
COVID has entered the building for this coming Thursday against New Orleans.
Yeah, Mike McCarthy's not going to coach on Thursday because of a COVID violation.
And you got a number of players as yet unidentified.
This is going to be a difficult. This is going to be a difficult, narrow stretch to navigate here for Dallas, who now sees a couple of teams like Philadelphia and Washington who are behind them. That was a big lost opportunity for Philadelphia this week, losing
absolutely
the way they did to the Giants. It was an awful game.
How many times did you see Jalen Reagor's name show up in your
Oh, no, I just saw
in
how
your
many
mentions.
I just saw how many times Nick Sirianni gave Jalen Hurts an F for the game. Yeah. Oh, he gets an F. Jalen Hurts was terrible today. He doesn't get an A, B, C, or D. He gets an F. But now.
Yeah, but he had that little right rollout, and it just bounces off Rieger. It's like, catch the ball, man. How many times did you hear over the course of games yesterday, and I'm sure they said it today, you guys are professional receivers, man. What are you doing?
Oh, man. But that. Suddenly now the NFC, which is good for us because, right, it's not just the runaway that was looked like it was going to be because 2 weeks ago the Cowboys had like a 4-game lead, you know, and it's a really big thing to be halfway through the season. We got a 4-game lead. Now it's down to a couple of games and things are going to start getting interesting. They have a game in hand. Cowboys have a short week and we don't know what's going to be like for them. So suddenly now the NFC East is interesting and all these teams we thought that were great in the NFC, a couple of them are starting to have some problems now, and it's getting a little bit. Look, this is the best part of the NFL season, and this is why this year is great for us, because instead of normally what it is okay, now we know who the best teams are. We get to Thanksgiving. We get out of it. We know who's really good, and we can't wait to see these big matchups. There's, you know, four or five teams that have clearly shown they're above everybody. Not that many. Not that many. It's still anybody's game. And yes, you can point out now and say the Packers and the Patriots may look like the two best teams in the NFL. Oh, by the way, remember I told you the Patriots were going to the AFC Championship game before the season started, right? That was my big bold prediction. But you could say, hey, the Packers and the Patriots, they could be the best right now. It could be a different answer in a week. It could be a different answer in 2 weeks. You could see teams at the top of the AFC and NFC that right now are 6-5 and they could pull off a few wins and go, suddenly we're great now. The Bengals could wind up being the best team in the AFC in a couple of weeks. It could happen. You could start seeing teams surge and say, hey, maybe they're the best. This is how it goes. This is why this year in the NFL is absolutely insane, because the best team in the league, we may not know who they are right now, and we could have a much different answer in 2 or 3 weeks by the time the calendar gets to the middle of December.
Well, just think about it, how topsy-turvy it's been, because you mentioned Cincinnati. We'd started to crown them a few weeks ago, right? After that pounding of the Ravens, and then what did they do? They lost to your Jets, and then they got absolutely obliterated by the Browns. Okay, then they go and they obliterate the Raiders, and then take the soul from the Steelers. I mean, that wasn't even funny. Joe Mixon carried the ball more times in the first quarter than he does in 3-game stretches. That's how much they went and just annihilated what Pittsburgh was doing. But what's interesting with Washington right now, and you look at this win streak that they're currently on and what they've been able to put together after winning this game tonight, is while you may dismiss the Seahawks, well, it's still Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll. And so long as they're there, they've still got a puncher's chance. I think the spread on this one was, you know, 1.5 or something. You got the Panthers they're not good anymore. And now Christian McCaffrey's done for the year. So if you held on to Chuba Hubbard, you're feeling pretty good for your fantasy stretch run. Not world beating, but a guy that's going to have double digit touches. So you don't have to go use that free agent acquisition budget. And obviously it all started with the win over the Buccaneers. What's been interesting to me, Jason, you mentioned the defense on it, giving up 19 points, 21 points, 15 points. And even before that, 17 points, 24 to the Packers when they lost 24-10. They're doing all of this pretty much without Chase Young's been hurt for a couple of weeks, and Montez Sweat is on injured reserve because of his jaw. The two guys that were making or supposed to make that defensive line hum, and remember how bad they were to open the season, and they were getting beat up on the defensive side time and time again. I just think it's an interesting, you know, conundrum. As it were. Taylor Heinicke playing some decent football. Had that Logan Thomas touchdown erased. I know some fantasy owners mad, like, you know, folks facing us in an expert league. Hi. And others. But you look at the defense was supposed to carry them, and now they're playing better football, more consistent football without the two stars on that side of the ball.
Twitter at How About a Fresca? Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Let's share with you a little bit of Brian Kelly and his message that he sent to his team at Notre Dame following his acceptance of the LSU job. Brian talked a little bit about it a couple seconds ago. The beginning was how, let me first apologize for the late night text and, more importantly, for not being able to share the news with you in person that I will be leaving Notre Dame. All right, first of all, the late night text, it's 10 o'clock at night. What person in college is in bed at 10 o'clock at night?
No, it's not a function of being in bed. It's a function of you put business aside, and now you're either studying or you're acting the fool.
But do you really think if you're a football player at Notre Dame, you're not talking, there's not some kind of meeting, you're not out, what's going on, coach is leaving, I heard this. Let me apologize. It's not like he's texting at 2 in the morning going, hey, I know a lot of you went to that raging kegger, man, at Tridelt, but hey, in case of all of you are up. So the late night text he wants to apologize for. I am flying back to South Bend tonight to be able to meet with you in the morning, but the news broke late today, and I'm sorry you found out through social media or news reports. I will have more to share with me tomorrow at 7 a.m. Now, this is okay. Whoa, 7 a.m. meeting? Well, yeah, because, you know, kids have classes, and he's got to be able to find a time to meet. Doesn't want to wait until 5 o'clock or practice later on in the day until, you know, you get to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. No, so you gotta have it at 7 o'clock. I get that, and I get that there's stuff that goes out on social media. And you find out before you tell everybody. But when he goes on to say, know that my love for you is limitless, because apparently there is a limit because he's leaving, and I am proud of all that you have accomplished. Our program is elite because of your hard work and commitment, and I know that will continue. As soon as I read that part, if I was a player, I would just hit delete or close the app. Because you can't BS kids. You can't. Right. And I get you. Look, you're leaving and you'll talk. But don't sit here and tell me, oh, I'm so proud of you. What we accomplished. I love all of you so much. Just stop. OK, you took a job. You got paid an incredible amount of money, most likely. And I can't wait to hear what the eventual packages are going to wind up to be for Brian Kelly. But we know what it is for Lincoln Riley, and it's houses and private jets and millions of dollars. So you know what it's going to be for Brian Kelly. But just don't sit here and try to BS me and say, oh, hey, everything is great. I love what we've done. It's a just say, hey, we're going to meet tomorrow morning about this. Because I look at this and I go, you know what? I can't read this. I can't read. I'm delete or I close the app and I can't look at it. Because you can't do that. Kids understand. They see through everything. All right. You can do that to adults, and adults are going to play the game with you because they understand that this is a serve and volley and you're leaving and I don't know when I'm going to need you in the future. So I'm going to blow off when you treat me bad. Adults deal with things differently. Kids see things black and white, and that's awesome. And they're going to see that and go, you know what? Yeah, this is what does coach say? This is just a load of crap right now. I'm going to delete it. I'm going to delete it, and I'm going to go to the meeting tomorrow morning. I'm not going to pay attention because he's leaving, and they'll tell me who the coach is going to be, and we'll be able to play in our next game, and maybe it's in the college football playoff, or it's going to wind up being a bowl game, and I'm just going to sit there and not listen because coach is leaving, and he's going for money, and he sends this ridiculous text, and now I'm going to sit here in this meeting and be sad? No, I'm too pissed off. I'm too angry. And that's exactly the reaction that kids should have after seeing this. All right? It's a big world, and college football, it's a big boy sport. There's decisions that are made that are going to upset kids. And that's what that's an unfortunate byproduct of college football. But this whole part of it, yeah, you know, the kid, yeah, you know what? I'm done, coach. I'm done. You're leaving. Just go. You just go. Yes, I know you love us. You love us so much. You're leaving to go to LSU. You're leaving a school that has its own television contract for LSU, a school that just fired a head coach who won a national title 2 years ago. You're leaving us to go there. Okay. Thanks, coach. Appreciate it. That's how I would feel if I was a player.
Yeah, I think I would have just sent, if I'm Brian Kelly, the Dave Chappelle gif of going, I'm rich! I mean, that's really all it comes down to, right? All the
guys,
flowery
language. You have no idea the money they're giving me. Oh, my God.
Right. I mean, that's it. Or the, you know, old photo that you have of the guy with the giant stack of cash up near his ear like it's a phone. I mean, all of those things. Huel laying on a bed of money. I mean, so many things you can have fun with, but trying to write flowery prose. By the way, I'm working on the logo for the My Love for You is Limitless. or unlimited, because it is Russell Wilson's birthday. Happy birthday. What a great game. But this doesn't work. Come on. This is a clown show. And even if you then recognize, look, it got out. Sorry. We'll talk about it in the morning. That's it. Three lines. Sorry it got out. Sorry I didn't get to tell you. We'll talk at 7 a.m. That's it. all this other stuff is window dressing. You could try to sell it, you know, crocodile tears in the morning while you meet with them. And maybe to some degree you actually feel that way, right? You had Lincoln Riley as he was talking about his time at Oklahoma, and he got teared up a little bit. Again, he's probably already had a good acting coach out here in L.A. Hi, Lincoln. But the idea being that you're getting paid this inordinate amount of money and the opportunity knocks, and Brian Kelly, maybe he's looking at it saying, look, this is as good as we're going to get, and we're still wishing, wanting, and hoping to try to crash the party, and we're not going to be able to, so I can go to LSU, and maybe I can have some of the same success as these other coaches have, right? National titles, last three guys with the gig. Maybe you can continue that, but you're playing there, and every Saturday is next level, and you're actually playing opponents where it is next level, as opposed to, all right, you better beat this team by 48 points because you're Notre Dame playing one of the academies or something like that. So if it isn't a good show, it's, you know, criticized in a whole different way there. And obviously academic requirements maybe change along the way as well. But in the end, it still comes back to the whatever GIF you want to use to describe how much money and how many perks you're going to get. Maybe you start showing the picture of the Learjet with Ric Flair walking alongside that for you. I don't know. There's GIFs for days. Here's Ted DiBiase and Virgil, like we put up earlier, right? We both used the example. I used DiBiase. You came back for Virgil. It's all right there for you. Just don't try to fool the kids. They recognize how much money works. And with NIL deals, they all recognize that as well, right? Because they're all trying to go to a place that's going to allow them to get paid too. So they're not going to begrudge you your cash, coach. Don't treat them like a bunch of five-year-olds.
Twitter at How About a Fresca? Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Telling you, look, kids, you cannot BS them.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week, we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, welcome inside. Hour three of The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Washington beats Seattle tonight 17-15 on Monday Night Football. We'll have more on this game coming up in about 20 minutes and why each week we're getting closer to the end of a big era in Seattle and the Jets get closer to another really early draft pick. So there are those things happening right now. But college football and the coaching carousel continues to own the night. And it's so strange that in a weekend in which we saw the best weekend in college football in a long time, there were so many great things coming out of this weekend that we're barely going to have time to talk about the games because of the drama going on with the coaching changes and Lincoln Riley to USC, who is already visiting with recruits. There's already pictures online of him. He landed in L.A. Hey, go meet. Here I am. I'm meeting with you. Coach decided to meet with me when he just got the job and landed in L.A. All right.
He's got a long sit-down in the morning already announced for Colin Cowherd, so check out Colin's show because I'm sure that'll be a very long little visit. As they get ready, and it's recruiting on a big stage already, no question about it. But I got to ask you about your family, man. We don't need to break down the game itself, but what kind of atmosphere for all your Detroit natives and all the lunatics in your house?
It was kind of like what America was like, in that the excitement level over Michigan winning was through the roof. And now whether you had a dog in the fight or not, like, you know, I've lived in a Michigan household my whole life. You know, my wife is, you know, Michigan, her whole family is Michigan. You know, her dad's out here visiting and we watch the, you know, of course it's the must-see game. the reaction was one of overwhelming joy and a letting out of frustration. And that's kind of what I felt like it was around the country, where if Ohio State had won, it would have been, yeah, Ohio State beat Michigan again. Because, you know, they beat them every year. It's not really a rivalry. Whether Michigan has a good team, Ben, it doesn't matter. Ohio State wins. But Michigan winning was such a big jolt of adrenaline for college football and through my family too, because I'm seeing the reaction of both, you know, the micro and macro of here in the house when everybody is going crazy, and out on social media and on television. Fox stays with the game for a good 5 minutes after to see the reaction of the fans on the field, and Hutchinson is in the stands with fans, and he's signing autographs, and he puts a Jets hat on and he says, "Come get me." Okay, well, that part didn't happen. But, you know, and that was such a great job by Fox deciding, we're going to show you the emotion of this game and what this means. And because you see something different, we have seen Michigan winning and beating Ohio State. Whoa! It was felt throughout all of college football. And, you know, looking back at why this was such a big deal, as I'm able to use my family as a part of this, is that the two biggest things that happened this weekend happened to the two biggest rock star programs in college football, right? Like, Alabama's Alabama, right? And Alabama's great. We talk about them all the time, and Nick Saban. But the two biggest rock star programs are who? Michigan and USC, right? And they have both fallen on hard times the past few years. USC can barely stay competitive in the Pac-12. Michigan's been good, and you got to give Harbaugh a little bit more credit. Like, I believe, which I have been doing
for years on this show.
You know, four times, you know, that he's played Ohio State, he's come into that game in the top 10. So it's not like, you know, he's struggling with 5 and 6 seasons and, hey, we beat Ohio State, it saves our season. No, he's come into those games ranked in the top 10. Mm-hmm. So Michigan's been winning. They just haven't beaten Ohio State. So I get the frustration. But with them being down, college football is a much better place when the rock star programs are great. And now we're getting that in both places. Michigan now has their best team. They have a sledgehammer offense. They have a really good defense. They have the best defensive game plan for Ohio State, which was, we're not going to allow you explosive plays. We're going to make you march down the field 10, 12, 15 play drives, which is not what you want to do. And that worked. And here's Michigan winning, and Harbaugh, who is a lightning rod for all kinds of controversy. Michigan winning, one of the biggest rock star programs, a heritage program, doing great again. And now Lincoln Riley at USC. Hey, suddenly that dynasty can take a big jump again. And it's back to the days when Pete Carroll was there. And who are the big quarterbacks coming through? It's going to be Matt Leinart. It's going to be John David Booty. It's going to be Mark Sanchez. And it's all this. And that's such a big deal for college football, because for the last few years, Michigan and USC have been down, and now they're not. Now they're back up. And in a sport that's very regionalized, it's hard to find those programs that cut through no matter what kind of fan you are. And even Alabama doesn't cut through as much, because we just always expect them to be good. And when they're in a battle, oh, now it's interesting. But Michigan's always given you the interest level, and so is USC. And when they're down, that's bad for college football. But now they're on their way up, and it is incredible, because USC's got their whole new look. Lincoln Riley's just going to show up and hand out. He could finish handing out 5-star guys by the time he goes on Colin's show tomorrow. Say, I got no more scholarships left for the next 3. I've given them all out, right? I got all the 5. Every guy's a 5-star guy. Everybody we want, I got them all. He's going to be able to do that. Finally, now Michigan has the program they want. They have the depth at running back to run that kind of offense. They have a good quarterback now and one waiting in the wings who's coming in. I mean, this is the beginning of a good, you know, 3-4 year run for Michigan, where they're going to be back to where they are. And that's so important for college football. When those programs can figure out, get back to the top and stay in the conversation, the sport becomes national. And instead of just being a conversation where, well, in the South, everybody's Alabama, in the Midwest, people think Ohio State, we, you know, Oklahoma. Now this kind of brings everybody together, and Michigan winning has brought everybody together, and USC with Lincoln Riley have brought people together. And now college football, as you see, now Brian Kelly leaving Notre Dame, which is the other big rock star program, because it's Notre Dame. Now this is a guy leaving instead of staying, but still, who knows who this opens up the door for? Urban Meyer. You have no idea who's going to wind up taking this job. I got to get out of Jacksonville. But these programs now seeing this movement, college football is saying, hey, we really needed this. As much of a message as it is with coaches leaving and NIL money, and we needed Michigan and USC to take this big leap and be back to where they are. And hopefully Notre Dame can stay where they are and be even better with their next head coach. And maybe their next head coach is a big-time rock star. I mean, they went with Brian Kelly because they wanted a solid guy to come in. He was there for a long time. He won 10 games a year. I mean, he was really, really good. He was in the playoff. I mean, he was really good. But the next guy may be even better. The next guy may be Urban Meyer. I mean, and my big prediction of him leaving Jacksonville in December is going to come back to me, Mike Harmer, which I thought was out the window now. I'm going to take a loss on that. But now maybe he leaves because Notre Dame is open. Yeah, this weekend in college football, you can't overstate how important this was.
Yeah, you got to love when predictions come true, not because of what you said was going to happen, right? I'm for Urban Meyer. If he leaves Jacksonville, yeah, part of it is this is terrible. This isn't working. The other is someone offered him $150 million to leave, right? Because that's the price of poker at this point for Urban Meyer to get out. Don't forget, Shad Khan's probably also going to say, you're giving me some of my money back because you didn't do the job that I hired you for, and they'll fight about that. But to your point, you know, we've had a great weekend of college football. It's not often, other than maybe when there's a big Heisman vote or when we're into the playoffs, do you get this level of interest that supersedes what's going on in the NFL. Right, we had a game tonight. We've talked about it. Wasn't a good game. The weekend overall, we talked about the ratings going into the weekend, just the crazy Cowboy-Raiders game and all that went down. That was a wild 9.5, 10 hours of football on Thanksgiving Day, straight into college football on Friday, and then the big college football Saturday. Unfortunately, the San Antonio Roadrunners, their undefeated season left, so all the signs I was building to make them a co-national title contender is gone out the window. I was just going to try, Jason, you know, because they were still in the low 20s despite being, undefeated. But then we have all of this coaching. The rumors start in the middle of the NFL games yesterday. Lincoln Riley goes to official status. You have the pageantry today. We've got Brian Kelly leaving and sending the text note to his players, which is, well, I think, pretty much what I would expect from Brian Kelly as part of this. And now you open it up. You mentioned USC and Notre Dame and Michigan. Yeah, it's the danger of being a regional sport, right? We look at the NHL. People will ask me from time to time, how much NHL do you talk? It's like, well, when the big cities, you know, when we've got an L.A., because we're on an L.A. Oftentimes here on AM 570 and, you know, or Chicago, the hometown, but just a huge market, you know, when they're fighting for Stanley Cup titles, you know, then it can mix in. And occasionally we get the rare, you know, guest that wants to pop on and, you know, is a big name in hockey. But otherwise, if you have the marketplace, right, you're an LA show, you're a Chicago show, go on down the line, then yeah, you talk more hockey. But nationally, kind of gets pushed to the side a bit, other than a mention and a couple of scores in the updates. You know, with college football, while we watch the SEC, a lot of the Pac-12 goes unnoticed. Why did they term it the Pac-12 after dark, right? Because, well, nobody saw it, and then they woke up and said, wait, 56-48, what the hell kind of football is going on out there in the middle of the night? Those kind of things. But with USC, when they were Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart and Pete Carroll was pulling the strings, and all the stars, music, television, whatever else, were hanging out on the sideline, it was a different thing, right? It cut through and it bridged that gap and brought it together. When Notre Dame's good, everybody you either love or hate Notre Dame. There's no indifference to them, right? Because maybe that was the team kind of like in the NFL, you saw the Cowboys or 49ers every week, no matter where you lived, because they were good. And they became national teams, and people picked them up, started adding them to the winners lists that they cheered for. And you meet people our age that have that Lakers, Yankees, Cowboys, Notre Dame kind of mix going on in their fandom because you saw them. Or you went the other way and you decided you were going to hate them for the rest of their lives because they deprived you of seeing other teams. Notre Dame has that piece to them. but Midwest, Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan. Look, I've been the leading Harbaugh apologist on this network for a while now, in terms of what he is and the old look in the mirror test of what you are in reality versus what you might think yourself to be, and all of that as far as Michigan goes. But it always is good when the brand names are relevant. Whether it's really good or horrible, where it's all calls for firing, whatever, right? USC, you get the best of both worlds this year, right? You didn't like Clay Helton. He got dumped. And then you get into the questions of who's going to be there, all the rumors. And now you got the Grand Slam hire to come to town with his, what, 55-10 or some nonsense record like that. He is 1-3 in bowl games, so there is some concern there, Jason. No question about it. That line will be used on radio tomorrow if it wasn't already today. But it's good for college football. All these signings in Major League Baseball, all of these different storylines. And what are we talking about? College football and the money being thrown around and the growth of the sport into different areas we never thought possible.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. An incredible weekend in college football because those teams are back. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. It's your business. You need to see every single hire, but you really don't want to go through every single resume. Hey, LSU, what do you want? We want Brian Kelly. All right, great. I don't want to go through all those other resumes. Dino Babers keeps calling. Let's just hang up on the guy. You need Indeed, the all-in-one hiring platform that makes it easy to attract, screen, and interview candidates all in one place. With smart tools like Instant Match, you instantly get a list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed fit your job description the minute you sponsor a job. Spend less time sifting through resumes and more time saying you're hired. Visit Indeed.com/credit. That's Indeed.com/credit.